Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This is our review of Jurassic World Dominion. My name's Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this film, which is opening, well, if you're listening to this on the day it drops today around the world, at least most territories around the world. Mm-hmm. It is directed by Colin Trevorrow, returning after making the first film, Jurassic World. Mm-hmm. Screenplay by he and Emily Carmichael, based on the story by Derek Connolly and Colin himself. It stars Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, Laura Dern, and in case you've missed all the marketing, here are some spoilers. 3, 2, 1. Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, Sam Neill, B.D. Wong, Omar Sy, Dwayne DeWise, and Mamoudou Athi.
Excellent.
That'll do. 146 minutes long.
This butt bad number. Boy
cost $165 million, and because it was released in a few places around the world before today, where we saw an advanced screening with thanks to Universal Pictures.
Hello.
Very, very kind of them. Thank you very much for all those there. It's already taken $55.7 million before it's even opened anywhere of note.
This is considered good, yes?
Well, look, I think this is going to be a big hit, whatever happens, because the IP of Jurassic Park and Jurassic World after it is so huge, people are going to go and see it. This is a big screen event.
I like to call that the Fast and the Furious syndrome.
Well, Jurassic Park was around even before Fast and the Furious, believe it or not. All right, Wayne, what is it about?
Okay, everyone. This movie takes place 4 years after the island of Isla Nublar was destroyed in the last movie, and dinosaurs now live and hunt alongside humans all over the world because Bryce Dallas Howard let them out in the last movie, making her responsible for probably hundreds of deaths. We'll just gloss over that. So this film is about the fragile balance and the reshaping of the world and trying to live with dinosaurs while involving the old characters from the original film and the new characters from this, like, you know, franchise, whatever. And they basically are... No, I don't want to spoil that. I'm just going to say that they all are trying to get into and find the dinosaurs and kind of get their way through them. I don't know how to spoil it.
The reason why I'm struggling is because this film's plot is all over the place.
It's kind of not. Yeah, it's they all end up. I'm not going to say that either.
Yeah.
All I will say is that that's what it's about.
If you got that, there's dinosaurs. There's more than dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, there's old cast members.
Yeah, old cast members and new cast members going together to address some kind of problem. There you go.
Right.
There's dinosaurs. That's what's going to get you into the cinema, and that is what matters most. Look, it's so early, our review of this, because we're walking straight out of the cinema.
Yeah, we saw it like
it's almost more
less than an hour ago.
Than a
exactly.
Review. Yeah, the screening finished less than an hour ago, so we're really coming in with our very hot takes straight in, or warm takes, I guess you'd say.
I think so.
No real time to even ferment and settle, so
no.
Take that for what you will. But only 11 critics have posted online. Most of those given a positive score according to Rotten Tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
73%. However... Right. Reading through some of the tweet reviews that have come out about it, most of them seem to be quite negative. So there's your context. There's all we can offer at this point in time.
Interesting.
Most importantly, Wayne, what did you think, and I will follow, of Jurassic
Sure.
World Dominion?
Okay. So I'm watching the film. Now look, the runtime is an issue.
Too long.
It's too long for
Shock
a movie.
Shock horror, I know. I know people listen to the show will be surprised to hear like say that.
But for a movie like this, you want to take my ass down for 2 hours and 20 minutes or whatever, right? It's like it's a very long for an action movie or whatever.
Well, even action's kind of generous. There are some great action sequences, but gee, there's a long time between them, particularly in the first two acts of this film. It's a long time to get going.
Agree. I will say, though, that it did, given the runtime, it did pass a bit quicker than I was expecting it to.
Okay.
For whatever reason. I don't think the plot is Which convoluted, what? Shall we say.
Yeah. Yes. And barely crowbars together, really, when you think about it.
Well, what it's doing is that it's because it's the final one in the franchise, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Frank Marshall's already said, we'll see how it goes and we'll see the future in the future.
Yeah, I dare say if this makes money, it's happening again.
Yeah,
right? Exactly. So, you know, but this is ostensibly the actual end of this last part of the franchise, whatever, right? So that being the case, I will tell you this. It's fine. I thought it was okay. If you're there for the dinosaurs and you're a fan of this franchise, you won't be disappointed. If you like all of the old cast and the new cast coming together, which I think they did relatively well given what they did. Paul seems to disagree based on his face right now, but I think that the way that they put this together to actually make the original cast members, you know, and the new cast members mix at some stage wasn't done terribly. Like, it didn't feel crowbarred in. The components of the cast that were, you know, the new and the old, I would say the old cast members actually have more of a plot line, they're more integral to the story than the new plot
yeah,
the new cast members,
fair.
Right? So that's something. They weren't just crowbarred in for fan service. That's something.
No, not like buddy Ian Malcolm's appearance in Fallen Kingdom, which right, was complete which is, and utter
that's
shit.
Exactly what that yep. was. And I did enjoy the Jeff Goldblum, such as it was, in this film because I like Jeff Goldblum. I also thought...
As do most of us.
Yeah, the performances were fine. And I think that's what this movie is. It's
not a performance movie.
No, it's not a performance movie. There's three components. It's like it's the dinosaurs, I guess the characters, and what?
The effects.
Probably,
well,
yeah.
The effects, and maybe mean the dinosaurs there. And the action sequences, the action.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how thrilling, how on the edge of your seat are you? How much does it matter? And I've got lots of things to say about that once we get
good.
To spoilers.
Because here's the thing. I reckon that the problem you've got with the sixth movie in a franchise is that there's no magic anymore with the dinosaurs.
Correct.
Okay, because for the beginning one, that was Steven Spielberg, and we'd never seen animatronic, whatever it is before, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, it was one of those films from that era, along with, say, Terminator 2, that just, and a little bit before it, largely Aliens, that
agree.
Just hold up. Like, I know I've never been the biggest fan of the first Jurassic Park, and I've gone on record saying it's overrated and all that kind of stuff. Even I'll acknowledge on a rewatch all these years later with my daughter and my wife that it stands the test of time. It looks so good.
Yes, because it's Spielberg. That's what's going on here. So that if you're looking for something new, you won't find it. If you're looking for dinosaurs, you will find them. and other than that, I would say it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, you've used the word I was going to use. This film is fine. I think it falls squarely between the abysmal Fallen Kingdom and the, I think, slightly superior Jurassic World. And there's a couple of good reasons for why Jurassic World.
I think the World one is slightly better than this, but it's definitely far better than Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah, it is, because this one, although it makes some of the same errors, but it doesn't go as hard down those lines that it did in that film. And again, I have to be a little vague for spoilers. The biggest problem with this film for me is that you've got these two completely separate plot lines that, yes, you say they didn't crowbar the old characters. That's true, but they absolutely crowbar these two storylines together to somehow make them meet.
Well, here's how it is. When you've got this is an ensemble cast. Like, you know, there's so many characters in it, and you've got to try and give all of them equal. And there's whole arcs where you don't see the original, you know, the you know, because you have to give
arc
everyone.
Arc is a very generous term.
Yeah, okay. that itself is a problem, which I don't think they handled terribly, given that if you're here and you hear that there's Sam Neill and, you know, all the original cast, you want a good whack of those people. You want a good, and they've done that. So it's fine.
But what they haven't done, and we're getting to it now.
Yeah.
The real problem with this movie is the script. The script is really poor.
Now, when you say script, do you mean the dialogue or do you mean the script?
I mean the dialogue. I mean the storyline. The plot is just, again, I have to be vague. We're going to hit the spoiler button in a moment so we can just talk freely.
There's a couple of glaring.
The big main point of the film is like, you're doing what?
Yeah.
This is a fucking dinosaur movie and you're doing what?
Yeah, now that I think about it. I mean, look, that gives the it's not like the gambit, whatever you call it, right?
MacGuffin.
It is the MacGuffin, even though it's, you know, it's not one thing. It's like, that's creating the tension and the, oh my God, the stakes, basically, right? And the stakes are high, but they're not high and immediate. They're high and gradual.
Yeah.
Like, if we don't do this now, eventually we all run out of food. Yeah. That's basically what it is.
So there are a couple of really great, I think, additions to this. I really liked the new character, Kayla Watts.
The young girl?
No, the pilot.
Oh, the pilot. Yeah, she's good. She's cool.
Thought she's very cool.
Very cool.
Hot as. Very smart. You know, very physical. Looks like she could tear a new one without even breaking
a sweat. Oh, yeah, she smacked my shit up. Yeah.
Yep. She's great. I really liked her. You know, although I did not buy for 1 second how she got involved in this whole thing. I'm just like, what? Huh? Yeah. Okay. Again, example of the weak writing.
Yeah.
The script is really about showing you some, hey, here's an awesome scene, but we've got to get you to that scene.
Yeah.
And again, I'm being vague for the awesome scene because I'll talk about it in spoilers, but there's a great chase scene I thought was excellent, probably the highlight of the movie.
I would agree so,
too. There's an excellent sort of throwback. As you get in almost all these films where dinosaurs are hunting people, there's a really cool one of those scenes which has an amazing shot in it, which I was like, well, if there was five more of those in this movie, it would just go up a whole star.
Well, that's it. Dinosaurs are so fast in this movie, right?
They're fast until they come across the main character.
And then
they go, pause.
I don't know. I mean, they can run as fast as, say, a motorcycle.
Then they do the Crocodile Dundee thing and fucking just put their hand up and it's all good.
I know. Okay, let's get to that in spoilers because I don't know how I felt about that. I'll be honest with you, I don't know how I felt about that.
And if you're having a problem with it, I think our listeners will
know.
Exactly,
I'm the forgiving one.
Yes. So I would agree, the performances are all fine. They don't have much to do. There's very little in the way of character arcs.
Can I ask you then, just with regard to characters, What did you think of Bryce Dallas Howard in this film? What did you think of her in her character, her performance?
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah, I actually liked her a lot more in this film. I hated her in the last film.
Yes, because infamously, Wayne, you rolled out a line at the end of that movie.
Here's my problem before Paul says it, right? In the last movie, she lets go of all the dinosaurs, right, into the fucking populace of humans, all right? Purely out of spite. She's like, you know what? This is what happened. I used to have a girlfriend who was the most militant left-wing fucking hippie fucking lefty, right? And I, don't get me wrong, I'm, you know, that I lean that way, but like, this is weird. She's like, fuck humans. She's like,
what? No.
Animals over humans every single time. I'm like, look, no one likes animal cruelty, but at some stage you have to decide whether, like, can we let these animals kill all the humans? And she's like, yep.
In the movie, yeah.
Yeah.
And what you then said, Wayne, was sometimes you got to control your woman. Sometimes you got to cage a bee. And the whole world went,
whoa, 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 hold on.
Except a small subset of listeners went,
ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Okay. But mostly people went,
what the fuck hell? You and your bullshit soundboard assheads.
No! No!
Sometimes you got to cage Paul, I mean, who is a bitch.
Anyway, so this is the follow-on from that. And look, so you disliked her character turn, which I agree, didn't really come out of anywhere. Again, one of the many, many problems in Fallen Kingdom. In this film, she's just standard along with everybody else. They're not given anything to do other than look scared. You don't buy them for a second as real people. They're ciphers for the action to get you where they're going. The only person who has some real strong personality is Ian Malcolm, because he's Jeff Goldblum playing Jeff Goldblum, basically, the way he's grown, we've come used to seeing him be.
I thought that there's a couple of cool bits with him. There's a few throwbacks to the very first movie, which are kind of cool, which I quite liked. It kept me going.
I mean, there's some things in there for fans. But overall, I agree. It's just adequate.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's nothing to get excited about.
If you're a fan, and maybe it's my age, but I'm like, who still loves dinosaurs? You know what I mean? Like, obviously enough people. Well, not obviously enough people to get 50 million on an opening night.
In your mid-40s, you really shouldn't be loving dinosaurs the way that you did when you were 20 or 15.
You're right.
Or,
it's just that I'm old, isn't 12. It? That's it. This is for other people. This movie is for not me.
By the way, you can take a kid to see this one. There is virtually zero violence in this entire movie. There's a couple of intense, probably scary sequences. So I wouldn't be taking my 4 or 5-year-old, but your 8, 9, 10-year-old who likes dinosaur films. Certainly, if you've seen the previous ones, they can watch this one, no problem at all.
Good call. Always listen to Paul. He has a child.
All right, so that's our general take on it. It ended up being a bit longer than we thought. Let's get into spoilers and spoil everything on the other side of Jack.
Hit it.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, and the truth is that people seem to be a little bit down on this movie.
The reviews, how are they doing, Paul?
Yeah, like I said, people sort of ragging on, mostly what I've ragged on, the storyline and whatever. Mm-hmm. So particularly this idea of, let's make the threat locusts. What?
All right, so
this is dumb.
This, to me, if you think about the writer room, right, when this happened, or whoever's like, you know, they're putting this together, it's like, okay, so what's the peril? What's the peril, everyone? Why are we fighting? Why is anyone doing anything? It's because locusts, which are the size of a cat, are swarms are actually destroying crops. And the idea here is that the locusts are genetically mutated to only destroy crops that are not owned by Biosyn, which is the company that created the locusts.
Right. Which is, to me, the dumbest fucking thing in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, time.
Well,
because you may as well just have a big red arrow that points straight at you and say, we did this. And that's exactly what Dr. Grant and Ellie work out, or Alan
within
Ellie,
10 seconds.
Within 10 seconds. And no one else in the world has put this together?
Well, I think this is what, if I get it correctly, they witnessed a crop being leveled by the locusts, and then a nearby crop, which was Biosyn's.
But even
crop.
She said, "Oh yeah, of course it's Biosyn's crop."
Yeah, but I think it's the first time someone's actually noticed it.
Anyway, look, again, I just think
I know, because the rest of the movie is her saying, "I'm going to get proof," right?
Yep.
So she takes her ass and Alan Grant's ass to go to the Biosyn factory where Campbell Scott is like the head guy, and he's the bad guy. All right,
Sarah, simpering bloody fool.
He's like,
and the film's trying to play it like, oh, he's a nice guy for about two scenes, but we've already established these locusts are only, it's not meant to be a big reveal, but it's just dumb.
Well, the first time you see him, because the thing is, he's like, yeah, we're curing this, we're curing that. He's just a pharmaceutical company that's like, yeah, I'm going to create the cure, and then I'm going to charge people up the ass for it. But the first time you see him actually be evil is when he sees the approach of the aircraft with like the girl's parents in
it. No, before then he's basically telling BD Wong's character, like Dr. Wu, is just going, yeah, you know, what happens? You got to break a few eggs to make an omelette, basically. Yeah, so we're destroying all these crops, but it's okay. And I didn't understand his motivation. So he's okay to control all the food in the world. It doesn't matter if millions and millions of people get to just die.
Yeah, he considers that collateral damage to him, to that company.
He has about three lines about his motivation the entire movie.
It's not well fleshed out, and also it's not buyable because...
No, because he would have been targeted in a heartbeat.
Maybe if there was some childhood fucking story where he hates humanity, or like he was just a very toothless kind of bad guy.
Well, he's got a head of security there who does literally nothing. He's just a cipher for him to talk to outline his evil plans and react. And oh yeah, I'll press this button and shut down underground railway subsystem thing and leave everyone there to die. Not a problem.
Well, have you noticed that? Speaking of that head of security, everyone in his lab or in that facility is actually not evil. Even the head of security.
Yep. He just shakes his head
like, we're not going to do this. He's not really like, yeah, go after him, guys. The only evil guy is the dickhead at the front.
Yep.
Who's like the bounty hunter or whatever he is. And he's trying to kidnap the girl. And
he dies early on.
He dies like straight up. So it's like, I thought he was I'm kind of glad he died because he was a shit bad guy. He was like this mustache twirling, like, oh, I wonder if he's the bad guy.
Yeah. Right? Well, not so much different for Campbell Scott being this ineffectual simpering fool.
Well, this is the thing. Maybe if you squint. Maybe it's interesting for the bad guy to not be that bad, but just selfish, and then everyone else in his facility actually isn't a bad guy, because that's what the world would really be like. It would be full of people who go, oh yeah, I work at this place, and they pay me lots, and it's really cool, and we're saving the world, and then...
Apparently his sort of pseudo-partner, who's this really young guy who he considers to be his protege, just sort of sells him out to Ian Malcolm, and that's how they get Ellie and Alan in.
Was that guy CIA?
No, his conscience was right. Like, we're doing the wrong thing here. We need to let the world know. Which again is another stupid moment in the script. So you've got Dr. Grant, Dr. Sadler in.
Mm.
Why doesn't he just say, I'm the one who got Dr. Malcolm in. I know why you're here. So here's what you need. And I know he's playing up for the cameras.
To keep up appearances.
But there's ample opportunity where he could have just quietly said X, Y, Z to them.
Well, the idea here,
that's meant to be a big reveal. Oh, he's a good guy.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Fuck
I,
off.
I mean, in as much, I didn't expect him to be a bad guy. I expected him to be a neutral guy, and then he turns out to be a good guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Ian Malcolm is actually, he says, I'm ordering a coffee, and he uses the frother to actually cover his speech with thing. So obviously the security of surveillance is
except
really...
Except when they're not, Wayne. Because at one point, they all manage to walk from sub-level 6 to the what do you call it, rail,
they
monorail.
They had no problem getting high
there,
security area.
Of course, in a place which has cameras everywhere and is so technically advanced that you can hear people speak when you want to zoom in on them, you wouldn't have a camera near an exit onto a fucking train to get you out of the place.
Yeah. And also, they got to the secure elevators by just walking in, stealing some fucking clothes like the outfit overall, or whatever. Yeah. And then just taking the lift out. Now, they did have the beep thing. But, like, someone should have gone, excuse me, man with a hat and woman who has, for some reason, wearing a cashmere overcoat.
I knew you were going to talk about that. Wayne leans over to me and goes, she's the worst dress sense ever. She's wearing a sleeveless trench coat.
Yeah. What is a sleeveless trench coat? It's shit. So, it did bug me a bit. But Campbell Scott had a cool cardigan, though. Sorry. What can I say? That is weird. They just got in there because they had to get in there for the plot point.
Yeah.
And this is the thing about this film, okay? You've got the two sets of characters, basically. The new people and the old people. And they're completely... They don't meet till fucking third act.
Well, yeah. Right. So, 40 minutes to go, basically.
40 minutes to go. Which is better than, like, this buddy cop sort of group thing? Because here's the thing. It's hard to actually have a scene with, like, 20 cunts in it. Or 7.
Nine or 10, as it were.
It was a lot of them, anyway. And so they're all trying to hide from a T-Rex around a car and shit. And you're like, yeah, the T-Rex would not be... Like there's people behind this car. He knows. You all moved. And also, it's not like one guy is hiding underneath or something like that. That was the only coolish bit, I thought. The Malcolm whatever guy. He waves the torch he did with the flare.
That was his hero moment, yep.
Well, that's what happened in the first one, except he was waving a flare to distract them from the kids. And he did it again. So I'm like, okay, throwback, good. And also, it gives me a reason to still believe or like this character.
I really like that scene, though, especially that shot I was talking about before, is where Maisie is climbing the steps. I love the way they think going up at head level away from it, the T-Rex. Was it T-Rex or was it Gigliosaurus,
I think,
or what it's called?
It was one or the other.
The big dinosaur thing which they set up. Of course, there's a battle between them at the end. Shock
this
horror.
Is the most dangerous.
But then there's a third one that comes on because it's a third film and we can't just have 1v1. It's going to be 1v1v1.
Well, the thing is, the third dinosaur was a fucking, like,
birdie one.
Well, yeah, but also it was a vegetarian. What do you call them? Herbivore.
Yes.
Right? So when it starts to take out like the strongest fucking like dinosaur well, there up. Is.
It's like Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah, and you know what would happen right after that? The T-Rex would then kill the other one.
No, but they basically just buddy fist bumped and walked away.
Yeah. Well, I guess the T-Rex might eat the one that died. So who knows? But he didn't do that either. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Now,
but yeah,
please.
The locusts, back to those for a moment.
Yes, please, the locusts.
So they go in and they get their sample and they're going to prove what's going on and all blah, blah, blah. And off they go. Campbell Scott realizes he needs to cut his losses. So he decides to enact the burning the room full of locusts protocol. Brilliant. Now, Wayne, if you had a I need to destroy all the evidence sort of process, would you or would you not make sure that the place you're going to burn to the ground and everything within it doesn't have a convenient escape hatch at the top?
Now, can you explain what happened there? Because
no. Neither can this film.
Well, I got the impression that he burned all the locusts, but then something went wrong and they escaped through the hatch.
Well, it didn't show that. I just showed them going, oh, we'll fly up. Like, it's meant to be a vent to get the flames out, but the locusts flew out with it. I'm like, that is the dumbest design thing in the history of the fucking universe.
Is that what happened?
I think so.
I thought something broke and they got loose. Okay, that's weird.
Even if something broke, it's so convenient and, again, stupidly crap writing.
Well, what this was someone said, hey, you know what would be a cool scene? If there was like fireflies and like there's a sky full of fire and all these locusts who are on fire were like, ooh, look at the fire in the sky. And then they fell on dinosaurs.
And then they burn up the whole place and that's the end of their whole, this whatever this place is. I'm like, what?
The facility went to shit immediately.
Yeah, and by the way, every single other character, bar the main characters, got out no problem at all. They just all disappear. Where did they go? What did they do? They couldn't have flown anywhere because...
And why did Campbell Scott have to take the fucking tube?
Why is he the only person on that
tube? I suppose
tube?
He was the... He stayed. Everyone else
left. But where did they go?
I'm going to guess shuttles.
But
I'm gonna
where?
I don't know. Well, wait.
They herded all the dinosaurs into the place and then well done to Kayla. This is the one stupid thing she did in the movie, apart from join them in the first place.
Yeah.
Which was she flew the helicopter straight in amongst them all and no one thought to tell her, don't land in the middle of the whole fucking... Because that's where we sent all the dinosaurs. And by all the dinosaurs, what we mean is just the three biggest ones because we don't see a single other fucking one in there.
Yeah. Do they all come into the facility? Mm-hmm. So is the plan then...
To keep them safe from the raging fires around the building.
So does that mean in the event of... some problem being like a fire or whatever, the plan is get all the dinosaurs in this facility with all the people, or does that only happen in the evacuation?
On the inside, whatever. But I'm just, many, many plot holes, many, many stupid moments. And this is my big problem with the film. It's so weakly written. It just gets you to those sequences. And I started to say that one included where the big dinosaur is terrorizing when all the gang comes together.
And
Malcolm has his moment, but Maisie's climb that ladder and the jaws chomp down
on the cage.
She's kind of climbing up
a ladder with a cage around it,
and starts. That's really good. I wish there was a lot more of that. I also wish there was a lot more of Chris Pratt. I know after the first one, this is a ridiculous thing to say. A lot more of Chris Pratt and a chase sequence through Malta with these dinosaurs chasing him.
Now, did you like that?
That was awesome.
That was awesome because that's what I was saying. These dinosaurs can run as fast as a motorcycle or a car. And I actually think the way that they put that sequence together, it was good because they really almost got him lots of times.
And not just him, also Claire.
Yeah.
On the back of the truck with Kayla driving. That was really cool too. So both
that was good.
That's great dual action sequence. Okay, the film's come alive now because that's like an hour in. And up till then, we've had one cool shot of a big dinosaur leaping out of the ocean and dragging a ship over. And then a really shitty... YouTube video investigation summary of what everything between now and then, so we can fast forward through that at least and keep the runtime down just below 2.5 hours.
I was surprised at that. It was actually like the actual reporter wasn't like, you know, an official news station. It was now this, like what? But I would say, I heard a rumor that, or someone said to me that you can tell how good a Jurassic Park movie is going to be by the amount of time it takes for the first person to get eaten by a dinosaur.
Well, in that case, you will hate this film.
Yeah.
There is so few deaths, and this is...
Well, the first death was an innocent bystander, which I was like, oh, that was a bit harsh.
Oh, when he's in Malta?
Yeah. When someone just gets picked off their scooter.
Yeah, well, that's a big advertisement for don't ride your fucking scooter through the middle of busy places, but anyway.
Or at least wear a helmet.
That would have saved him.
Paul after that.
I did. But I was genuinely surprised by... This film has no balls at all. Doesn't kill a single person of consequence except the simpering bad guy.
Even that. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Like I'm saying, really lowers the stakes.
I don't expect anyone to die. Paul, on the other hand, a movie's not good unless a lot of people die.
No, it's untrue. I don't expect a lot of people to die in a film like this.
Least
but I expect
someone
of consequence to buy it. Like, in the original Jurassic Park, lots of people die.
You know,
lots of main established characters die.
Yeah, but, you know, in case...
Newman, Samuel Jackson.
That's true.
You know, like, in this one, no one other than Campbell Scott.
Yeah, and this is PG-13. They could have offed a few people.
And even, like, that's why I go back to Jurassic World being, because I was surprised by how, not bloodthirsty, but brutal it was. It was just offing people left, right, and center that movie.
Oh, yeah. See, I told you, that's what Paul likes.
But because it raises the stakes. Imagine had they killed someone, right? In that original attack from the, whichever dinosaur it was, we've obviously got confused between the Giggly or whatever it was and the Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah.
Imagine if they had eaten one of them. Now, everyone is fair game, literally. And you're like, oh, shit. This is, the tension goes through the roof.
Yeah. But then that would have made people
big
sad.
Balls. Paul. Yes.
And also, if they, first of all, they can't kill Sam Elliott or fucking
like, Sam Elliott? When we've seen this movie.
Sam Neill. I'm such an old man now. I'm fucking getting the wrong titles and shit. It's over, people.
You can't handle the truth.
And Laura Dern, they're safe. You can't kill those two, right?
You know,
or Jeff Goldblum.
Kill Chris Pratt.
I was thinking Chris Pratt.
The film goes to great lengths to establish that really it's about mum and the daughter, not so much him. Right?
Well, Chris Pratt's agent would have slapped a script down on the fucking desk of the thing and said, you're not getting my client in here unless he could make it to a potential follow-up because I got to buy a fucking house.
That's yet another problem as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. One last thing. I read somewhere that it's been proven that it's a very, very, very likely, in fact, almost proven that dinosaurs had feathers.
Yeah, they brought that in.
And they finally have a feathery dinosaur here. So I was like, well, at least they put that in there. Because apparently the Brachiosaurus doesn't actually exist. It was a mistake.
All right.
So they've stopped using it. No, it's a Brontosaurus or some shit. I can't remember. Yeah. I'm sure some paleontologist out there will say you're an idiot.
Fair enough. All right, look, I think we've talked enough about Jurassic World Dominion. Wayne, what are you going to score this one and any final thoughts?
Straight up, 64.
Yeah, that's reasonably about where I'm at. Yeah. For me, slightly worse than that. Gets the barest of passes because I was entertained. It was good enough. It probably matched my expectations. It was very middle
this
of the
thing,
road.
This is the thing. I wasn't expecting much, and I got probably about what slightly better me.
I didn't go in with high expectations at all. For me, it's a 2.5 star. It's a 53. It gets over the line, but I would not recommend this if you're not a fan of this genre nor series.
Do you know what? The only reason I really don't if you're, let's say this is a matinee, right? We'll go see Jurassic World because, you know, I liked the first one. Pop, 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 pop. If you go in with that ideology or whatever, you'll be fine. The thing that stops me from recommending it is the runtime. Like, 2 hours and 20 minutes for this film is too long.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't get me wrong. I think they actually, the reason is because they had 200 characters.
Yes.
Right?
Again, so they had kill a few of them off would have run quicker.
No, then there's like the scene at the end where everyone's sad. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, okay.
Worked for Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, you're right. But that was Avengers Endgame. So.
Sorry, Jurassic World. You are no.
No, hang on. You can't fucking compare any movies to like Infinity War, Endgame, or something like that. That's a whole different 10 years kind of shit.
What did you think? One last thing, which we probably should have addressed. What did you think of the special effects?
All right. So, by and large, good. Blue, the raptors, and the baby blue.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of like they moved a bit quick for my liking. They're just kind of skitting around. It looks a bit fake on occasion. Otherwise, but on the whole, good.
Yeah, I thought they ran the gamut. Some of the scenes looked really good, and some, especially when they went, back to practical and the puppets and whatever.
No, I heard a story. The animatronic is actually quite a bit in here. Yep. Is that right?
I thought that stuff looked good.
That's good.
Some of the CG did not hold up at all, as far as I was concerned, and that is one example that you just talked about there.
Mm.
A couple of other points. One, how is there a bloody ice lake within about a 20-minute walk of a big steaming jungle?
I didn't even think about that. Why is there so much ice? Oh, you know what? The only reason there's ice is if it could be a peak of a mountain, which it was not. They were up a bit higher.
They were up a bit
slightly
higher.
Slightly higher. It needs to be Mount Everest.
Yeah, anyway. Right. and the fact that we thought, you read online that there was an after credit scene.
Yeah.
And there wasn't.
There wasn't. We stuck around for about another
15 minutes.
Yes, which I could have not.
Wayne did go out
there
for a piss.
Came back. No. So yeah, if you read somewhere, there's an end credit scene. There is not.
Yeah, not on the print that we got. Anyway, something added very, very late in the piece. And we were treated to Aussie Man Reviews was the host
and the compare.
Yeah, did a pretty good job of interviewing Sam Neill beforehand and giving him a run of Aussie slang. I'm sure that will come out online somewhere.
Absolutely.
Worth a look. And that's it. All right, that's it for us for Jurassic World Dominion. What did you think once you've seen the film? Let us know via email or just go to thecountdownpodcast.com with all the links to all of our socials. Join the Facebook community links in the show notes and follow us on Podbean where we host. And thank you so much for joining us again today for this brand new release. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, time.
Kill someone. Grow some balls. We'll catch you next time. See ya.
See ya. We'll be right back. Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. We are going to review Jurassic Park shit, Jurassic World Dominion.
Sorry. Gold.